Imagine relying on a dozen different software programs to run your business, none of which are connected.
And each one more expensive and more complicated than the last. It can be pretty stressful.
Now imagine Odoo. Odoo has all the programs you'll ever need, and they're all connected on one platform. Doesn't Odoo sound amazing? Let Odoo harmonize your business with simple, efficient software that can handle everything for a fraction of the price. Sign up today at Odoo.com. That's Odoo.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, it seems only in the last few years that it's been okay to acknowledge people who died in the last two world wars. And part of that change is due to the work of the historian Simone Hickey. Simone, this Easter gone, has visited 40 cemeteries in France and Belgium where the graves of 678 Sligo men are located, all of whom died during World War I. Simone, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me here this afternoon. I'm delighted to be able to get a chance to talk about my men.
Could you describe for us, what do these cemeteries look like?
The ones that I visited mostly were Commonwealth grave cemeteries, and they're absolutely immaculately maintained and landscaped. They are all identical. They all have that altar of remembrance and a sort of sacrifice, which is in a cross. So they all are identical and they all have the same sized headstones. But a lot of them saying the soldiers who were lost and their bodies were found, but there was no identification tags on them. It's unknown to God, a soldier only known to God. But our men have, if you're a Connacht Ranger, you would have the insignia of the Connacht Ranger or the Irish Guards, are the Dublin Fusiliers, the Royal Inniskillens. The crest would be on the grave and then the name, be it a private, corporal, etc., and the date of death, and if there's an epitaph from a family member.
Yeah. I assume, though, there must be cases where there wasn't really a body to find.
Oh, absolutely. In total, so far, my research has discovered 678 men. One of those is a woman. Now, we only have 399 graves. The remainder are on panels, which are large stones, and the men's names are engraved on. An example would be at Thiepval, the Somme. There are 72,000 men's names on that enormous, most beautiful memorial. 72,000. And of those, he comes in Sligo. And the men in Gate now, which was fortunate enough to lay a wreath, we have 42 men there. There are over 36,000 names on that.
Yeah. Who was the woman?
Oh, the woman was Penelope McDermott, and she was from Drummore West in Sligo. She had emigrated to America. She decided she would become a nurse, and she trained and she became a matron. And then when war broke out, they needed nurses when the US became involved in the war. But she died of influenza. But normally, unless you saw action, but it was a direct result. So she has an actual American military grave. So she is entitled to a military pension, and therefore she is acknowledged as being a victim of the Great War while in service with the US infantry. Now, we also have three other women, but they died. They were civilians on the Leinster in 1918 in October. The RMS Leinster was torpedoed and went down off Dunleary. So we lost seven civilians. But they're not only just in Flanders and the Somme. Of all our men, they're in 23 different countries around the world. So, so that's my whole, I suppose, reason behind this is it wasn't for the British or the kingdom or anything like that. It was world peace, these men and women, those unfortunate women who died too. It was world peace because last weekend I was in Washington and I paid my respects to 36 of our people, Penelope included, at the World War One Memorial in Washington, D.C., which was just unveiled last September. So I went over to talk to those 36 people and tell them that they're remembered at home. They're not forgotten. And you can't get to everybody, but it's just so nice to be able to go and rub your fingers over somebody's name and say, look, you didn't have the chance to be mourned back then. You know, it was a different term. It was just political turmoil. And, you know, it was so... And we Irish have to mourn. That's just part of actually everybody, even animals mourn. You need some place to go to. You need to talk about people. You have to go through the process. But it was denied so many thousands of people. I mean, our families here 143 of our men were married and 105 were fathers. So many people were hurt. Besides parents, there was the children of these men. And 35 of our women remarried. So possibly those children didn't even know their father died in the war because they were brought up by another man.
Oh, God. Now, could you tell us in the few minutes we have left about, because you have a family connection to this, your great-grandfather.
My great-grandfather, he's in Poisier, which is just down the road, a couple of kilometres from Thiepval. And he was killed on the 21st of March, 1918 in the German Spring Offensive, along with thousands of others. So in Poisier, we have 14 Sligo men and Granda on panels, no graves, just names. And I didn't know why he went. First of all, I didn't know he went until after my granddad died. So it was only 2013 I found this out. And I thought, God, that's why not? Why was he never spoken about? But he had a good job. He was a printer compositor in the local paper, the Sligo Champion. And then he moved to the Sligo Independent, which wasn't, it was a Tory paper. And I found out 10 printers went. So maybe it was a pals brigade. He had six children when he enlisted in 1915. 1916, granddad was born. And by the time he left to go and fight the Somme, Martin, my granddad's younger brother, was born. So he never saw the youngest son. But the interesting thing is his brother John Joe was a printer compositor as well. And he also went. And when they came home, granddad didn't come home, but John Joe did. And we have a portrait of granddad with great granddad with my great granny and my granddad on the knee and John Joe beside him. But John Joe was brushed out because he came home. He wasn't married. He had no children. And Mary Jane, my great granny, was a bit upset. So she brushed him out. It was just not spoken about. It was forgotten. And I mean, some of those people just are still hurting today. That's why I made a point of every grave I went to, I took a picture, the flag, it's like a pilgrimage. You do the whole practices. There's certain routines. I put my book down and I read a bit out of the book for them. I showed them their name. I put the flag down. I got sand from Strandhill Beach and rubbed it into their name, the etched ones. And I got water from the local holy well because all our men on this were Christian, you know, because I've done the research and just sprinkled that. So just to let them know they're acknowledged, because you can't remember something you didn't know. But every human needs respect and needs to be acknowledged that they actually lived. And it's just for families to mourn. And
absolutely.
Then let it die. Yeah.
And Simone, we have to leave it there. But thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Simone Hickey, their historian. The name of Simone's book, by the way, is Bringing Them Home. That gives detailed accounts of many of those stories.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.